And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Transgression of Yudel Kinderschein, was written by Peter Berry and is the fourth in a series entitled Judgment and Justice.
I am Chaim Eglevsky, a citizen of Groznia, industrious, honest, intelligent, and not at all bad-looking. I am possessed of an even temper, a pious nature, and much tolerance for my fellow creatures. The only thing that I can't tolerate is a man who is better than I am, which is why I so thoroughly detested my competitor, Yudel Kinderschein. He was a gifted merchant and a whirlwind success at the kitchen doors of both Jew and Gentile from Groznia to Lemberg. Oh, he had everything his own way to this upstart genius. He was up before daylight crying his wares. Yudel Kinderschein cried them in rhyme.
Cookpots for baking your kiddish night hens. Trinkets and jewelry, ladies and men's. Hairpins and razors, bright, shiny, and new. And a glass for your tea when the day's work is through.
Such poetry he could spout for hours, making it out of his head with no sign of effort and outselling me everywhere 20-1. Since I had been a peddler when Yudel was still in his cradle, I objected to this deeply. And one Shabbos morning in Groznia, I stopped him on the street and told him so to his face.
If I've disturbed you, Chaim Eglevsky, I am deeply sorry.
Spare me this sanctimonious blither. We are both men of business, Yudel Kinderschein.
But
all I ask is that you promise to limit yourself to fair and reasonable competition. I get the promise or don't I?
Such a promise is unnecessary.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And stand warned, my soft-spoken friend. I shall consult Rabbi Benjamin about the ethics of one peddler taking the bread from the mouth of another.
Such consultation is likewise unnecessary.
Not in my opinion.
Chaim.
What?
I won't be going on the road anymore.
What did you say?
I won't be going on the road anymore. I've decided to give it all up.
Do you tell me this with a straight face?
Oh, yes.
On a Shabbos morning?
On a Shabbos morning?
You think I'm a fool? Are you trying to make one of me?
If you listen for only one moment.
Well?
I have suddenly discovered that there is a certain tendency for a peddler to, shall we say, exaggerate the value of his goods.
Discovered it? Such a thing is only human.
How sad that people use this lofty word, human, to excuse their basest instincts.
Oh, stop mumbling to yourself with that superior look on your face. You expect me to believe that you would dream of giving up so comfortable a vocation?
Forgive me, friend, but no vocation that distresses my conscience is comfortable to me.
And peddling distresses your conscience.
Indeed it does. And therefore, you shall have the field to yourself, Chaim Maglevsky.
I was astonished by Kinderschein's decision, but his wife, Miriam, she was staggered.
You decide such a thing without even discussing it with me, Yudel?
Can a man discuss whether or not to remain true to his principles?
But Yudel...
I've always avoided temptation, and I shall continue to do so.
But you shall also continue to be the father of a family, the husband of a wife, and the master of a house, I suppose?
If God is willing... These are all good and pious things.
And how, pray tell me, shall these good and pious things exist without money?
I shall find another way of earning our living. A way in which such things are not likely to happen.
What was that last?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Don't tell me nothing. It's always your nothing that's the key to the matter.
Please, Miriam.
And what is this latest nothing that threatens the roof over our heads?
I'm ashamed to say...
What do you mean?
I have transgressed, Miriam.
You...
Listen, last evening...
Just
before dusk fell over the Lemberg Road, a carriage drove up, a most beautiful carriage.
Yes?
And a lady leaned out of the carriage and asked me the price of the little black combs.
Yes,
what is your price, my man, she asked me. It had not been a good day, but what with the rain and the mud, and before I knew it, the words had leapt from my mouth like a pair of serpents. 8 coppers, lady.
Well, so...
It was not until she was clattering away down the road that the evil of what I'd done came over me.
You had done an evil?
The price of that comb is only 4 coppers. 4, my good wife. 4 covers the cost to me, plus a reasonable profit. But I had asked the woman 8 for it. And what's more, I had taken 8.
Well, what then?
Hey, you ask, what then? I am as ashamed of you as I am of myself.
I'm sorry if I shame you.
The sweat ran from my forehead, let me tell you, as I chased the carriage. But unfortunately, a man cannot overtake a double team of horses.
And fortunately, a woman with a coach and 4 isn't concerned about a few coppers.
This from you, from my own spouse.
I meant no harm. I only ask, could she possibly suffer from the loss of such a little bit of money?
No, she could not suffer. It was not she who had doubled her price. It was myself.
I see.
Do you see? Think, Miriam, think a moment. What if the woodcutter and the butcher should double their prices? How many thousands would freeze and starve? I have sinned. For the first time in all my life, I have done unto others as I would not have them do unto me.
But so small and evil. You made a tiny extra profit from a wealthy customer. Oh, you do such a thing as part of peddling.
Yes, it is. It is. And therefore, Udall Kindershein is a peddler no longer.
They said he was a hero. They said he was a saint. But I said nothing. I could say nothing. My dislike for him had mounted to a rage that stuck in my throat like a fishbone. In September, his household had been warm and well-fed, wife and children, plump, rosy. By December, they were pale and haggard. And when I'd see Miriam shivering in the marketplace, thin and threadbare, my heartbeat pounded my reason to shreds. I can imagine her days filled with the whining of hungry children, and her nights...
Udall?
Yes?
Are you still awake?
Yes. And you?
Yes.
It's late.
I'm worrying.
I'm worrying, too. I worry how a man shall manage to get through this world unsullied. What do you worry about, my wife?
About how we shall manage to get through the winter alive.
It was no easy winter to get through. The snow fell early that year, and some people didn't get through it. One morning, a week before Hanukkah, old Mendel Kotler, blessed be his soul, was found half buried in a 3-foot drift in the dooryard of the synagogue. He had served the congregation for 40 years in the capacity of shamus, and there was considerable grief at his passing. And then, 3 days after the funeral, Rabbi Benjamin called the meeting of the elders.
We shall not fail to miss him or to mourn him, but meanwhile, life goes on. And as Mendel would surely agree, a synagogue must have a shamus. In short, we are here to appoint his successor.
If I may speak, Rabbi Benjamin.
The floor is yours, Yasha Seligman.
Thank you. In order to waste no time, let me say that the tasks of a shamus make him, so to speak, the steward of the synagogue. And so he is set somehow above his elders, and should therefore be a man to be looked up to. an admirable man, a righteous man.
Yes.
Seligman, whom exactly do you have in mind?
A man of every admirable quality. A Jew of unquestionable righteousness. Our suffering brother, Yudel Kinderschein.
Very good choice, a very good choice.
Yudel Kinderschein. I was afraid of this.
Afraid? Surely you cannot think him unfit.
That's neither here nor there. His name has been suggested and must be approved or disapproved by this body. What say you to Yudel Kinderschein up from Ehrenberg?
Why, I think he's the perfect man. I say yes, unconditionally.
And you, Eli Raphael?
It would take longer than this night to recite all the virtues of Yudel Kinderschein. I say yes, absolutely.
And you, Chaim Eglevsky?
I say no, unconditionally and absolutely.
Why should he say no? That's the perfect choice.
Indeed? Do you question his fitness, Chaim?
I question everything about it.
Hold on, Eglevsky. Let's not be too fast about questioning others.
No personalities, if you please.
Where are personalities? It only so happens that I bought a watch from the peddler last Tisha B'Av that stops on the average of 3 times a day.
That watch is perfectly good. You only have to give it a shake occasionally.
A shake indeed, huh? I bought a watch, not a lulav.
Gentlemen, gentlemen. Gentlemen, let's stick to our business. Now, would you be good enough to tell us your objections, Eglevsky?
Well, I could say that Kinderschein makes my blood boil.
Yes.
That he antagonizes me and he sets my teeth on edge. But such objections, I suppose, aren't really valid.
No, they're not.
You agree that he's a religious man?
Mm. Yes. Surely you must be able to tell us at least one imperfection in a person you detest so intensely.
I would if I could.
Am I to conclude, then, that he's perfect?
As far as I know.
Morally and ethically?
How can I say otherwise?
Well, think, Eglevsky. Think.
I am thinking.
Few men are without sin or blemish.
I'm afraid that he is.
Well, then, if you can tell me nothing definite against him, I must leave the matter up to a vote.
I can tell you nothing definite against him, but I can tell you this.
What?
And I know it, though I don't know how I know it. In spite of all this talk of his righteousness and his virtues, Yudel Kinderschein is not fit to be Shamus of Groznia. But that night he was elected Shamus of Groznia. Although, for some reason, Rabbi Benjamin declined to vote at all. It was Yasha Seligman who was delegated to bring Yudel Kinderschein the news.
Heaven has smiled on you.
And just in the nick of time.
I, Yudel Kinderschein, a servant of the synagogue. And no man could be better suited for the task, I think.
Yudel?
Yes?
Did you hear what Yasha Seligman said?
Yes. It was amusing to see how certain people, not to mention any names, Chaim Eglevsky tried to stand in Yudel's way.
Chaim? What did he say?
Nothing. Nothing worth mentioning.
Yes. What did he say?
Well, it had very little effect after I stated unconditionally that you were a completely righteous person. Well, I must be getting home sooner or later. Good night, then.
Yasha Seligman.
Yes?
What did he say?
Who?
Chaim Eglevsky.
Oh, it was unimportant.
Still, what was it?
Why bother?
Curiosity.
Personally, I shrugged it off, and so did everyone else. But what he said was, in spite of all the talk of your righteousness and virtues, you are not fit to be the Shamus of Groznia.
That was Saturday evening. Around midnight that night, Miriam woke to find Yudel's place beside her empty. She was about to leap up when she saw his figure shadowed against the clean, bright shine of the wintry moonlight.
Yudel?
Yes?
What are you doing standing there in the window?
Thinking.
About what?
Nothing.
Yudel, don't tell me nothing.
Then what did he mean?
Oh, Chaim's jealous of you, Yudel. It's only that he's jealous.
I'm not sure it's only that he's jealous.
What do you mean?
It hasn't occurred to you?
Occurred to me?
Yes. That he may know about it.
What?
My transgression on the Lemberg Road.
Oh, Yudel.
But Miriam, he's a peddler, isn't he? The same lady in the same carriage may have driven up to him, mayn't she? He could have offered her a little black comb, and she could have said that she had already bought one. I can hear him now saying, 8 coppers! Who charged you such a price? In a twinkling of an eye, Aglevsky knew my guilt, my wretched guilt. That's why he says, I'm not fit to be shaman.
Now, Yudel, please, listen to me.
And you want to know something else? You want to know something else, my wife? Aglevsky may be right.
Right? When he has worse guilt himself 10,000 times over?
And if he does, what then? A peddler takes his guilt only into the marketplace, Miriam. But a shamus takes his guilt into the house of the Lord.
On Monday night, Yudel Kinderschein appeared before Rabbi Benjamin and the elders to make a formal acceptance of his duties.
You were praised most eloquently, my son. Your election was practically unanimous. And I welcome you to what I trust shall be a rewarding task, spiritually rich and fulfilling.
Well, Shamus?
Yudel!
Rabbi, I have something I must say. I must say that I am a needy man, and that I know in my heart what fairness and kindness the congregation has shown me. I must say that, and I must tell you I shall appreciate it, deeply and always.
Well spoken.
Pardon me, but I have a little more to speak. I also know in my heart that I must show the congregation an equal amount of kindness and fairness.
And I'm sure you shall whenever the need exists.
Unfortunately, Rabbi, the need exists now.
Huh?
I must tell you that the least kindly amongst you was the most correct.
What do you mean?
I mean, Chaim Aglevsky was right. I am not fit to be shamus of Groznia.
He told his story then fully and completely, and the tears rolled down his cheeks as he described the lady in the carriage, the little black comb, and the 4 extra coppers. For my part, I was stunned by his childishness, and I glanced around the room to make sure that the other elders were as embarrassed as I was to have a grown man recite such a silly story in public. And when at last he halted, there was a long, dead silence, which Yasha Seligman was the first to break.
Well, Yudel?
Yes?
That's all, Yudel?
Yes.
I see. It was very good of you to tell us.
There was no choice for me. I had to.
Well, I can't believe that it's a matter of very great importance. Can you, Eli?
No.
And you, Avram?
I can't see that it has any importance. It wasn't a theft, and it surely wasn't a swindle. As a matter of fact, I'm amazed.
If you don't mind.
Yes, Rabbi Benjamin.
I would like to render judgment in relation to such a problem in ethics as this.
Oh, of course, Rabbi. We took it for granted that the situation was too obvious for any...
Yes, very obvious. It is obvious that Yudel Kinderschein committed what he knows to have been a very grave wrong.
Yes, just so.
He deprived a woman of her substance selfishly and heedlessly.
It was altogether a matter of 4 coppers, Rabbi.
And since when is there a moral difference between 4 coppers and 1,000?
I'm sorry,
Or 1,000,000?
I'm sure the rabbi knows best.
Oh, no question about that. No question at all.
Thank you, Avram. Yudel Kinderschein.
Yes, Rabbi Benjamin?
You must understand that this revelation has put you in an entirely new and different light.
Yes, Rabbi Benjamin.
And therefore, I have altered my decision.
Your decision?
Yes. I cast no vote in Judah's election. But in so serious a moment as this, I cannot refrain from expressing myself for the record.
Your pardon, Rabbi, but I insist on the right to change my vote in keeping with yours.
I too, absolutely.
I wish unconditionally to change mine at once.
Peace. It is your privilege to change your votes as you please. But I hereby cast my own in confirmation of the former action of this body.
What do you mean?
I mean I vote for the election of Yudel Kinderschein as Shamus of Graznia.
Yudel's face was practically indescribable. Let me say that he looked both stunned and overjoyed, delighted and disbelieving. Indeed, he scarcely seemed to hear as he was instructed in his duties, and he departed like a man in a dream. The elders in silence followed one by one. I was alone with Rabbi Benjamin as he gathered his papers together, took off his spectacles, and crossed to put out the lamp.
Rabbi.
Yes?
I want to talk with you.
Oh? Are you going to reprimand me for voting for Kinderschein?
Reprimand? Who am I to reprimand a rabbi? In fact, as little as I have liked him in the past, I'm no longer honestly sorry for Yudel's good luck.
You're fortunate. It is ill for a man's soul to be sorry for the good luck of another.
But I'm very badly confused.
About?
You, Rabbi.
Oh?
You said that the wrong he committed was a very grave matter. You said he had been heedless and selfish. You deplored it before all the elders. And then, without warning, suddenly you cast your vote for him.
My dear Aglevsky, the confession he made was trifling, unimportant.
Well, then why didn't you say so?
And if I had?
Why, he could have remained the blameless and virtuous saint.
Indeed, he could have. But I shouldn't want a blameless saint for the Shamus of Graznia.
No. Why not?
Very simply, my son. It isn't good that a man should think of himself as blameless. Such a character runs the risk of being intolerant. He judges harshly, forgives slowly, and if you ask me, is happiest in his own self-righteous company. It is a cold, inhuman attitude for any man to hold. But for a shamus, it's unthinkable. A shamus, you see, must deal with people, and like anyone who deals with people, serves them, teaches them, leads them. And he should have a skeleton or two in his own closet to help him understand and love his fellow men in all their small, endless, natural imperfections. Now, do you understand a little?
Maybe.
Say that only God can be perfect, but the shamus of Graznia must be human. If Chaim, I had a desire to tell him he'd really done no wrong, to comfort and reassure him. But I knew it would be unwise in the end, for him and for the whole congregation. I think I was right, Chaim Aglevsky. Yudel Kinderschein needs his transgression.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Max Gelb, spiritual leader of Temple Israel, White Plains, New York. Rabbi Gelb.
The play we have just heard is a dramatic presentation of the basic moral dilemma facing man today, which has not changed in essence from what it was in the simple setting of the old shtetl in Eastern Europe. It touches upon two aspects of this dilemma. The first is portrayed in the opening scenes, in which the peddler Eglevsky accuses his more successful rival, Yudel Kinderschein, of unfair competition and unethical practices. Kinderschein, a man of great integrity, responds by taking the radical step of giving up his trade entirely. He confesses his tendency to exaggerate the value of his goods and to charge more than their fair price. Is not this the moral dilemma facing every business in our free society, propelled by the twin forces of competition and success? Surely our moral progress is yet far from catching up with our highly sophisticated art of salesmanship. And a businessman is confronted daily with the difficult choice between goodness and success, between strict honesty and greater profits. It is, however, in the second part of this play that we catch a glimpse of another, perhaps deeper aspect of this moral problem. Here we listen to the elders of the synagogue discussing Kinderschein's qualifications for a position of trust and service to the community. The rabbi abstains from voting for the paradoxical reason that not a single fault has been found with this candidate. He gives his approval only after Kinderschein confesses to the one deed in which his selfishness violated his integrity. It isn't good, the rabbi explains, that a man should think of himself as blameless. Such self-righteous men inevitably tend to become harsh, unforgiving, and even cruel towards their fellow men. And, as during the McCarthy era in the 1950s, the harm they do is often greater than the evils they seek to eliminate. There is no man upon earth who is righteous and never sins. This biblical truth applies to the authentic public servant and leader. He is one who is humble enough to admit his own moral failures and, knowing that life is hard and temptation strong, teaches with love and guides his people gently. Only thus can he strengthen them for the common struggle to achieve a better, more ethical, and more humane way of life.
Thank you, Rabbi Gelb. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Transgression of Yudel Kinderschein, was written by Peter Barry and is the fourth in a series entitled Judgment and Justice. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today were Ralph Bell as the narrator, Chaim Eglevsky, and John Gibson as Yudel Kinderschein. Others in the cast were Beatrice Pons, Daniel Occo, Guy Repp, Herb Duncan, and Gilbert Mack. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light will present Brandeis by Morton Wishengrad. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light, produced for NBC by Rhoda Grady, is directed by Kenneth McGregor. For the seminary, Dr. Ben Zion Boxer of the Forest Hills Jewish Center is program editor, Milton E. Krentz producer, and Ruth Sussman program coordinator. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This pre-recorded program has been an NBC Public Affairs presentation. This is the NBC Radio Network. Ooh.